This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Buenas.
Good morning.
¿Cómo estás, Eric?
Bien, bien. I saw you pull your glasses out for this podcast. We're going for the older vibe in this.
We are.
Sophisticated
librarian. Hot librarian.
You know, that is a look, you know, I like. I do like the glasses, the hot librarian, businesswoman vibe.
Okay.
I do like that.
You like that?
I do like that.
Okay.
You know that.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of that and a little bit of sexy because I have a off-the-shoulder, whatever you call it.
That's
so,
probably supposed to be meant to be pulled up.
That's the way it goes.
I don't know if she ever posted this on Instagram yet.
Why?
And I gave her so much crap because she went to take a picture in the pool. We had a pool day with the kids on Sunday. And I look over and she's lying in the pool, talking about sexy. And she's like leaning back on the step with like complete, like, I don't know, three layers of sunblock on her face.
Which
like
I've never done before, but now because of, you keep calling me old, so because of my age, I'm getting sunspots. So I was protecting
my face.
Looks
like she's cleaning the cream. And then she does the selfie, but making sure that there's enough cleavage in the selfie and the bathing suit, the bikini is showing. I'm like, Roz, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I just wanted to get a picture of my face. I'm like, well, then why do your breasts need to be in the picture? I'm so confused. And then, but this swimsuit was given to me, so I'm trying to post about the swimsuit.
I wanted to say a thank you, thank you post to this beautiful girl in Puerto Rico that has a line of swimsuits, and she gifted me one, and I was trying to take, it was meant to be a funny post.
But there was nothing funny about your face.
What
you were like,
to you?
You're like, ooh,
I know,
sexy
that's
right
the
now.
Point. The point is that I'm trying to look cute, but my face is covered with white sunblock. That was the point, Eric, trying to be like the juxtaposition. Is that a word?
Juxtaposition, yes.
What does that mean? Did I use it correctly?
Yes, you did.
Woo-hoo! The juxtaposition of, oh my God, look, my beautiful, cool, sexy swimsuit, and look at my face full of white sunblock because I'm old and I don't want sunspots. You ruined the moment.
Or it was a shameless plug of, look at my breasts.
What breasts? My
on
like little hanging,
which drives me
hanging racing breasts that I need to fix.
Oh,
I don't want to show this.
But
I should have said to my breasts, you know what, breasts? I love you. I love you, and I accept you. Okay.
She knows that. That's why I gave her crap on Instagram when she has like a random the bikini shot on the beach, but let me make sure part of my butt is in the picture. Oh.
I don't think I've ever done that one.
You did one when you were in Miami, and I gave you crap.
So I've done it once because I wanted to
celebrate. It got me attracted because you said, let me show you my sexy shoulder. And I was like, for me, it's fine, but for Instagram?
Ay, Eric, yo no quiero seguir hablando de esto. No me importa. Esta conversación no me importa.
I didn't expect to say
that. No me importa. Anyways, I wanted to talk about something else.
What did you want
to
talk about?
So this, like some serious... serious,
yeah,
relevant,
uh-huh,
topic.
Okay.
Yesterday I was doing press for Fantasy Island and He Said, Ella Dijo, our podcast. And I did an interview for KTLA, it's a morning show, with Sam Rubin, which you know very well. You've hosted the show. They love you. They're always so supportive and so sweet. And you know, Sam has been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
He is the entertainment...
A true pro.
So we're talking about Fantasy Island and the podcast. And then he says to me that he wanted to ask me because, you know, he knew that the podcast was about, he said,
Ella dijo,
that he said, she said, how we're so different and how we navigate this crazy business as actors. We're both actors. Thank God we're both doing fantastic. You know, you're on a show and I have my show. You know, things are looking up. There's a lot of prosperity, you know, and it's beautiful when two actors are working at the same time. He asked, how do we make it work when that's not the case, that one person is actually flying higher than the other one or doing better than the other one, and one is home, the other one is at work? It doesn't have to relate just to actors, you know, performers. This can happen to any kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Any relationship that there's two career people involved and one is doing better than the other. How do you deal with that?
Well, I know how I deal with it. I just keep plugging away and pushing forward. You just go into depression and that's that.
Excuse me?
So I push forward. Try to pick myself up if I'm not working, and I plug away. And
yeah,
I
but that was not my question.
Keep digging deep, and you.
That's
when it's not going your direction, you're in a depression, and I have to now juggle picking you up and helping you out while also trying to work. Am I right or wrong?
I don't like that answer at all. Like,
it's true.
At all.
It's true.
Whatsoever. No, that's not
if
true.
You're
no,
in
because
the
you're
slump.
Making it sound. Give me one second. You're making it sound.
Oh, fight coming.
Yes. You're making it sound. You're making it sound like if you're working and I'm not, I'm depressed because you're working
no,
and I have an issue with you
that's
working.
That's not true. No, you're not. You're not.
They
you
phrased
an issue.
It correctly.
You, settle down.
Okay.
You don't have an issue with me working.
At all.
You have an issue with you not working. And
those are two different things.
But it's hard for to totally have me relish in my victory if you're in a depression.
I don't suffer from depression. Not that there's anything wrong about depression. That's a mental health condition that is horrible.
From
I don't.
Chronic depression.
I don't at
but
all.
But when things aren't going well, how many times have you told me, oh, I just can't get out of bed? I can't get out of bed.
I'm not
bed.
Allowed to some days be right. Like, you know what? I don't feel great. I just want to stay in bed.
But
I'm not allowed to do
those
that.
Those days happen more frequently.
Are you joking?
When you're not working.
I'm not joking. Oh, when I'm not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I love to work.
Exactly. That's my point. That's what I've been saying.
No,
so if
I'm taking
you're not
it wrong.
Working,
you're
yeah,
not expressing
you're
yourself correctly.
If you're not working.
Is this a language barrier?
No.
Happening?
If you're not working and I'm working, you are always very happy for me. But
yes.
You get into a funk much quicker than I do when you're not working.
I don't know about that.
For a fact. And therefore, it not purposefully, but sometimes will take away from what the victory I'm having in the moment because
aww.
You're used to always look, when we met, she was the more, and I have no problem saying it, and it's fact, but she was by far the more successful individual. You know, I was coming off of a soap. I made a good living, but I was, you know, trying to make it outside of the soap, trying to get job, to, you know, going from job to job. You were already coming off of a big movie career and you were on a show at the time. And so you're used to being in that position. And so was I. And I've always been super supportive of your career. And I'm just more chill when it comes to that type of stuff. I would always be like, it's going to be fine. We're going to be okay. Something's going to come up. And listen, I would go through my moments of being down, especially if I didn't get a job that I wanted, but it was more about the job. It wasn't about like not being on a show in general. Because when the tide shifts, you've always been supportive of my career, always. But if you happen to come off of a show and be on a gap between going on to another show, even though you know it's going to happen, you tend to just slip down into a bit of a depression because
don't
it didn't happen.
Don't call it depression.
No, it is. There's nothing wrong with that. It is.
No, I know there's nothing wrong with
it.
But it's not depression. I just get antsy because
not wanting to get out of bed is called going into a depression. Antsy is
let me ask you something. Do I get out of bed?
Well,
I
eventually, because we have two kids, you have to get out of bed.
You're making me sound
you
so
have to help bad. Kids. I'm not trying
listen
to make
me
sound bad.
I've never been like, oh my God, I'm not. She didn't get up from bed all day. She couldn't mentally get there.
You can't.
I tell you, I don't want to get up from bed. I just want to be in bed. I just feel like sleeping. And what do? I get up and I continue my life.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually, what, 5 minutes
because
later? Or
take care of the kids.
25
no, because
hours
we got to help with the kids and we got to do stuff too. But I'm just saying
oh my God.
That you
I
process
like this. I don't like this podcast.
This was the question you asked. You process.
You're making me sound like
no,
I
am I wrong? I'm not trying
you
to
know,
make
I think you're exaggerating a little.
I am not.
I get up from bed every single
you
day. I have to.
Deal with the challenges worse than I do is what I'm saying.
Really?
And because you take on that burden so heavily, that. It takes a little bit away from my victory.
Oh,
I'm okay with
it. I don't like that you feel that way. I don't want
to
take away from
your
victory.
I'm ready to accept the apology. Go ahead. Apologize.
Apologize for what? I mean,
for taking away
Eric,
my victories.
I'm not taking away your victories. If there's somebody that is, if there's somebody that has changed and transformed your life for the better,
here we go.
It's me. In terms of supporting your career and make you a more.
More what? Go. Go what? What?
Well-rounded travel experience.
Travel? I live in Europe. I've traveled more.
Experiences in life.
No.
Oh, that kind of stuff. It's me. I'm
no.
so supportive.
I had no,
now,
we,
okay.
We've talked
okay.
about this on the podcast. I've had no choice but to adapt to your lifestyle. It's either join me in
you
business.
You have lived great experiences because of Miss Sanchez. Milagros, like your friend Mario calls me. Anyways, oye una cosa. So no, I don't want you to ever feel like if I'm down, if I'm depressed, if I'm like, oh shit, you know what's going on? I want to work and I'm not working, and you are making the bacon and the donuts and the what else you make?
Money.
They have a name, Blondies.
Blondies.
If you're making all that, I am incredibly proud and happy for you, because I want you to live to your fullest potential, and I tell you that all the time. To the point that it upsets me when I go, Eric should be at such a... Well, let me phrase this properly. I think you're a star. Uh-huh. I think he's a star. When I met him, I was like, this kid is a star. And you're doing fantastic. How old are you?
45.
You're 45 years old. And with men, you know, they actually flourish later in life. And I feel like you're flourishing and your career is doing fantastic. You have a hit show. You're making money. You're healthy. Your life is beautiful. But I always tell you, you have incredible potential that has to be tapped. And you need that opportunity. I'm always championing you. Mm-hmm. Is that a word? Because he should be He-Man.
Okay.
You know what's He-Man is a cartoon, right?
Everybody knows. Yeah, people know He-Man.
I think you should play He-Man.
I think
that's how big I want you to be a super freaking hero.
I just want to say this is her way of saying I'm sorry on the podcast. Because if we weren't being taped and there was like record of it, she would be like, all right, look, I didn't know you felt that way. I'm sorry. Like annoyed. But because
like
we're
annoyed.
At the same, she
like
just gave a very poetic speech, which I appreciate.
It was not poetic, it was all the truth.
And that was her way of saying I'm sorry on the podcast for all the listeners. So I forgive you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Anyways, are you supportive of me?
Always. Ask her how many times she's seen anything I've been in. Actually, you just got asked that on a podcast. Did you watch the movie that he was in? You're like, no, I didn't. I haven't seen it. Hasn't seen anything I'm in. But how many things have I seen of you in?
How many?
Everything, because you make
you didn't see the episode of Fantasy Island
I was
last
working
night
last
or
night.
The one before.
I was working last night. And the night before, yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
The invisible one?
Yes.
With Debbie Morgan? You saw it? No, you didn't. Exactly.
But you always make me, not make me, you always tell me, let's watch my stuff.
The kids watch Fantasy
but you never
Island
watch
with
stuff.
Me yesterday. I know I don't.
So
but
I know
all about
who's
it.
Who's supportive of who?
But I support you get it. I support you get the job by encouraging you and working with you on your lines and giving you... Acting,
well,
coaching.
I think we should really carry this conversation into our talk with the next guest, our first guest, our guest for the episode, Eugenio Derbez.
Eugenio Derbez, one of the most successful Mexican actors, comedians, filmmaker. Oh my God. This is un show de lujo, mi gente. Tenemos a Eugenio
and
Derbez.
And a true crossover. I mean, like, he's a star in the States, period. Amongst all audiences.
Yes.
Overboard, the remake of that, fantastic.
We
were at the premiere.
We went to the premiere.
He's a superstar. We're so thrilled to have him on the show. So
yeah.
He will be coming up next, and we'll ask him that question, and let's see where it goes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hola.
There he is.
Roseline.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. ¿Qué gusto? Hi, guys. Eric, how
Hi.
Are you?
Doing good. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm very excited about it.
Sí, bueno, estamos felices. Gracias un millón por hacer esto con nosotros.
No, hombre, al contrario. Gracias por la oportunidad de hablar de la película y todo. Gracias.
Sí,
¿cómo estás,
Roselyn? Good, que trabajando mucho, papá, pero todo súper bien, gracias a Dios. No complaints. I'm sorry that we speak in Spanish, but this whole thing is not in Spanish. Okay.
We can switch from English to Spanish anytime.
Yes, we're going to do a little bit of Spanglish, too, so you feel included.
Thank you.
Eric, do you speak Spanish?
No, entiendo poquito, but...
Okay.
Sigue,
like...
keep going, that was cute.
No, I get very nervous. Too many lessons that have failed me.
Oh, well, it's okay. Dude, can you believe that, Eugenio, 15 years together and still no Spanish?
And can we talk about that she's not a good teacher, Eugenio?
I don't have to
Zero
be a teacher.
Zero patience.
I don't have to be a teacher.
And makes fun of me when I try.
Well, for 15 years, yeah. You should have learned Spanish.
But if she was trying to help, it's like my salsa.
Oh my God. Anyways, let's talk about you. Okay, let's talk about you. So I'm going to start from a little bit from the beginning, and then we're going to keep going, and then get to Coda, your beautiful movie. Okay, so Eugenio, tu mamá, Silvia Derbez, she was an actress. I believe your dad was a publicist, correct?
Yes, exactly.
So they know the world, this universe of entertainment very well. When you said to them, I want to be a performer, I want to pursue acting, what was their reaction?
My mom was really in awe because I was a very shy kid. You can't imagine how shy I was.
Wow.
You wouldn't notice I was there because I was always in a corner, sitting down, just observing. For some reason, I feel that being like that was like a way of, absorbing all the information. I was always in a corner just watching. And I loved watching. Right now, I love just sitting in a park and watching people, how they behave, how they talk, how they move. And probably that's why I became a comedian, because now I know how to make different characters because of that. But my mom was really surprised when I told her that I wanted to be an actor. First, first time I said that, I said that in a TV show. Actually, there's a clip around there. If you watch it online, you can watch it. I told my mom I was probably 11 or 12 years old when I told her that I want to be an actor. And she was like, what are you talking about? You're very shy to be an actor. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I love that world, because every day off that I had at school, I went with my mom to the sets and fell in love with acting.
That's amazing. Wow. At what age do you think that you started then coming out of your shell? If you're saying that you were super shy, at what age do you think you saw, or your parents saw, a transition of, oh, no, he's actually very outgoing and he can be very hiperactivo, tú sabes?
Yeah. Well, I started acting since I was little, but because I was very shy, it didn't work that well. I wanted to be a dramatic actor.
Okay.
Like my mom, she was a dramatic actress. She was always crying. She was the queen of telenovelas.
Oh my goodness.
And but then I think it didn't work for me. My career as a dramatic actor at the beginning was not successful. So one day when I was already 27, I got my first comedy role in a TV show. And that's when I discovered myself, that I was I was funny. And my mom was like, what the hell? You're a very shy guy. How come you can do all these voices and characters? And she was really surprised. And I think that was the turning point, because I was 27 and I realized that I could be funny, that I could be like broad and bigger and get out of that shell. So
yeah.
I think it was when I was 27 and I started doing this comedy show, when I opened to this other me.
And so is that like a bit of an escape, I'm thinking, in a way, right? Because when it would cut and you were no longer being that character, I'm not saying you would go back to being super shy, but were you still a bit more reserved and not the character that people would see on screen and be like, oh my God, he's so bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Let me tell you a funny story. I had a lot of friends and they used to invite me to parties. After I became the famous funny guy, I had my own comedy show. They invited me to parties because they were like, invite Eugenio because, oh my God, he's so funny.
Yeah.
And it was really disappointing for everyone, because I arrived to the parties and I was there and I got into a corner and I didn't talk at all during the entire party. Because
wow.
I'm shy. In real life, I'm very shy still now. So if I go to a party, you will see me in a corner just observing, same as I was as a kid. So after they say cut, as you said, Eric, I go back to the shy guy I really am.
That is
yeah,
true.
So the real Eugenio is a little bit more of an introvert, but your alter ego is an extrovert that gets to express himself bigger than life when he wants.
Exactly.
Kind of like a rock star going on stage, or, you know, taking on a completely different persona when you have...
It's like Beyonce. Beyonce, she has such a fears or whatever the name that she's like, I transform. It's not me. It's my alter ego. Isn't that interesting?
Exactly.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. How's it... Like this, so this situation of you're shy, you're an observer, but then people see you as bigger than life once you're on stage or in front of the camera. How is that affecting your relationships? Like you're saying, like people invite you to a party expecting something from you because they have a perception, and then they get something else. When you, as a young guy, already 27, you're 30s, you're a successful comedian. How was it with trying to date and have relationships when women or people were expecting something that you were like, yeah, you know what, this, that's not who I am?
Well, I was very bad at flirting because I was very shy. Extremely.
Makes sense, right? Yeah.
I never approach a woman ever, any woman, because I was shy. And then I discovered that by being funny, that comedy was the best, how do you say it, aphrodisiac?
Aphrodisiac, for sure. We love comedy.
I always say that the comedy is the best aphrodisiac.
Oh, wow.
So, because, Rosalind, tell me, isn't better to have a guy that makes you laugh than just a handsome guy, right?
Que madre, can you make me laugh?
100%.
But you learn more from your husband when he makes you laugh, right?
He's amazing.
No, it's true. And some of our best moments, we always talk about what makes it work is like humor.
Humor.
At things. You have to be able to laugh at
things.
That's right. And so that helped me during my life. I discovered that comedy was really good for me because I was so shy that I couldn't establish any relationship with anyone. And through comedy, I found that I could be funny. I could be a little sexy because of that.
So, I love it, sexy.
Help me.
That's great.
4 kids later.
I've never seen Instructions Not Included. You were living quite the Playboy life during that movie.
Exactly.
In the intro, I mean, there was a lot of things going on.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. So you have 4 children, Eugenio, and I believe all of them, right? I don't know if the oldest one, but all of them, they're part of the business, right? It's Ling, todos actúan.
All my kids are in show business. Not the little one. I mean, she's just 7.
La chiquita,
but,
claro. La chiquita.
All my kids are in show business. My wife is in show business.
Yes.
Even my dog is in show business. He has like 120,000 followers on Instagram.
That is unbelievable. Awesome. And when Fiona, si yo conozco a Fiona, y ven acá, y tú siempre cómodo, when all the kids, you notice that they were following your path and your wife's path, they wanna be performers. Were you happy with that? Were you supportive?
Yes, because it was the same to me. I mean, I never encouraged them to be actors or to be in show business, but I never pushed them. But little by little, they wanted to become the first one. Badir, he was the first one. He said, "I want to be an actor," since he was like 8, 9 years old.
Wow.
And then the other ones, they came late. They wanted to be actors when they were in their 20-something.
Okay.
But all of them are in show business. So I feel like I am a child actor factory.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And that, none of the kids were shy at all. They all had this outgoing personality right away. They wanted to be in front of a camera.
Not really. I think that Badir is the more open. He's not shy. But my daughter and the other kid, they're pretty shy. And but same thing. When they're in front of a camera, they
transform.
They become.
Y la chiquita, Itana, ¿tú crees que también tienen la vocación?
Yo creo que sí. Yo creo que ella también va a ser actriz, cantante, bailarina.
Oh,
I hope not. I want a doctor, a lawyer, an architect in the family, please.
Yeah, please.
She's always singing. She's always dancing. So.
Imagínate, mami, papi, that's what they do. That's what she knows. You know,
I know.
It's casi inevitable, pero ojalá. Es hermosa. Yo te la cuido.
How have you and your wife handled throughout the years? I know you've been together a long time.
9 years. You're celebrating 9 years of marriage soon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that's right.
Se más de tu relación que todo.
Yeah, it's you know, a long time together, four kids.
No, but they're different.
Yeah.
Dos mamás, ¿verdad?
Different moms.
But different still,
yeah, still. Comedy was.
But yeah, it's a win. No, but still, a lot of kids, right? And you still have to travel. You have to be apart. How do you two make that balance work? Do you guys pick and choose to take jobs at different times, or you just make the travel work and you balance, you juggle the kids like we try to do? I mean, what is your secret?
We try to do that, to balance. For example, I work more than Alessandra, but still, when she's going to start a tour in Mexico and the U.S. singing. It's a big tour. So she already gave me the dates. So I'm trying to hold those dates so I can be at home with our daughter while she's traveling. So we try to do that. We've never had a nanny. We take care of our kid ourselves. And
you don't have, you guys don't have a nanny, Eugenio?
Mande?
No tienen nanny? Que
no.
Que lo ayude?
No.
Pero ¿cómo pueden? How do you do it?
I know. It's been just us. And we have a babysitter that comes sometimes, but we don't have like a 24/7 nanny. No. So
wow.
I honestly, it's been Alessandra more than me. She's been with Aitana all the time since she was born, and she left a lot of things aside to become a mom, and she loves that. Now this is going to be the first time she's really traveling. This is going to be the first time that she really leaves her to go and do a tour. So she's very excited, and it's my turn to be at home and support her.
That's amazing. Great. Good for you guys. That's
great.
That's crazy. I don't know.
And let me tell you about the travel show. We came up with this idea of doing a travel show for Amazon. And honestly, it was an amazing idea because we did a show and it's been really successful. We were afraid of doing this, but it's about traveling with my family. It's called Traveling with Los Derbez.
Claro, sí, lo he visto. Buenísimo.
And honestly, it's a great formula because we're traveling with the family, but at the same time, we're working.
Claro,
so that was
claro.
a combination.
Yeah, absolutely. You get to keep everybody together and have the profession part be, you know, be a part of your lives.
You know what? Before we brought you in, Eugenio, and this is more of a personal question, you know, so you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But I was doing interviews for my show. I was promoting Fantasy Island. And one of the interviews, the reporter asked me, you know, you're married to an actor, you guys do a podcast together, explaining people how you make it work, even though you guys are so different. What happens when two actors are together, one is working, the other one is not? How do you guys navigate that universe of one doing fantastic while the other one is struggling, or vice versa? Like, does it affect your relationship? So we had a whole intro talking about it. Eric opened his mouth and he was speaking, speaking his truth. And I was like, okay. So you,
I almost got an apology, but you know, getting an apology
anyway.
From a Latina, that's never wrong.
Anyway, so we know a little bit now Alexandra, ¿verdad? Sí, Alexandra. Pienso que es Alejandra, Alexandra. Que, you know what, she took a little bit of a pause, está con la niña todo el tiempo, and now it's her time to go on tour. She's an incredible, fantastic, she's a great talent, you know, es super talentosa. Se va a ir a trabajar. So we know that you guys have been incredibly supportive with each other. You coordinate your dates so you guys can support each other's career. Pero en el pasado, en otras relaciones, cuando has estado con actrices, ¿verdad? How do you guys would navigate? Was it always successful that you're doing so well and the other person is not? Like, what would be your advice for couples in that situation?
Well, as you can tell, I'm not there anymore, so.
Because I was doing successful,
so
and
that's
they couldn't handle it.
No, honestly, it was a mess. Let me, for example, Jose Eduardo's mom is Victoria Rufo. She's a great telenovela actress, well known in Russia and in Europe and in, of course, in Latin America. And she was always working. So, and I, when I met her, I was starting my career. I was like becoming someone, finally. So it was very hard. Very, very hard. There's a lot of egos in the middle too. because in that case, she was the famous, she was the doing a lot of, making way more money than I. My career was not at her level. It was very, very complicated. She never quit working. I was starting to work. So it was a mess. It's really complicated, especially when you're dating an actress or an actor. If you're in the same business, especially show business, it's very, very complicated. And then the press makes things even worse.
Yeah.
So no, it didn't work well. So I don't recommend it.
I don't know. You see it happens. You see? It's scary. I'm telling you. You see what?
You wouldn't recommend it.
You wouldn't recommend it.
So be supportive.
It's too late. I'm supportive. What are you talking about? Mira, está atrevido. Que si no lo apoyo. Yo estoy todo el tiempo encima de él para que sea mejor actor, mejor ser humano. Anyway.
You know, there's a point because I was reading about years ago about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and they had this agreement where they would it's like your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. Yeah. So they choose their battles, and they were like, okay, I'm doing this movie, I'm not doing these other ones, and they had to choose their battles. But that's not the same formula for everyone. When you're starting a career or you're not famous enough, you can be picky.
You have to work, exactly. You have to work.
You're going to pass on this movie right now.
You know, it's like, I would like to support you, but this is my only chance. I have to do this. I have to do it. So,
well, as you know, momentum is everything. In this business, momentum is everything. It's really, really difficult balance is when you lose that momentum to get it again.
Yeah.
It is really tough. Talk to us about Coda, because, you know, it's really funny. We were at a barbecue just the other day with some close friends of ours, and they had just watched Coda, and they're like, oh my gosh, you have got to watch this movie. It's incredible. And we had learned what the premise was, and it's on our watch list. It's going to be, for me, I can't wait to see it. What was that experience like for you? And it's a true dramatic piece, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm really happy because, you know, I've been a comedian my whole life. This is one of the few dramatic roles I've done in my career. But I'm so happy and honored to be part of this movie. Coda is about, Coda means child of deaf adults. Mm-hmm. And is the story of this teenager called Ruby, who is a Coda. She's the only hearing member in her deaf family. And she's been translating for them her entire life. So she's the only link between the family and the hearing world. And basically, her life is just interpreting for the family. That's it. And she has to be with with her dad and her brother every time they go to work, fishing. And then she has to go with mom to the supermarket, everywhere. So she doesn't have a life. And when she's at high school, she joins the choir club. And she discovers this passion for music and this talent for singing. And all of a sudden she finds herself torn between pursuing her dreams and the fear of abandoning her family. But I don't want to tell you more. It's a very touching and a very interesting and different story. So, and the director, Sian Heather, she's a woman like you, Rosalind, a director, female director. And she decided to hire deaf actors. And that, I think that was a great, great, great decision. Uh-huh. And you'll see the results. It's an amazing, amazing movie. It won a lot of, I think it's the most awarded, or one of the most awarded movies at Sundance.
Oh my God, qué privilegio. I'm so happy for you, Eugenio, you know, that you're tackling drama and you do it with the perfect piece. You know, it was the right movie at the right time and that allows you to showcase. Everybody knows you're mega talented, you're a superstar, you know, but I know as a comedian, again, perception, you know, people probably te encasillan en una cajita, te ponen porque yo, he's the funny guy, not realizing that you can do it all. And the opportunity to do that one that is critically acclaimed, the reviews are stunning, you know, and to be part of that monster, it's beautiful. I'm so happy for you. So happy.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosalie. Thank you.
Yeah, but I need to, so you play the music teacher, so you learn to play a little bit of piano.
Yes.
And voice to be able to do this movie.
Yes. I learned a little bit of piano when I was a kid, like when I was 9, 10, I took like a year, 2 years of piano lessons. But so I had to go back to relearning piano again for this movie. I had to learn 6 songs. I had to learn how to lead a choir. I had to learn how to teach singing classes. That was a whole thing. But thank God I found this woman called Liz Kinnan. She coached Ryan Gosling for La La Land.
Okay.
So I was very lucky because there's an entire formula to how to do this. So I was very lucky.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
So much in one role. That's what's really cool.
That's right. What's next now, Eugenio? Aparte de las mil cosas que está produciendo, dirigiendo, I know you played this role for 5 years, but what's next? Like immediately after this, what comes?
Well, I just shot a series for Apple. It's coming out, I think, October 15th.
Okay.
We produced, and I'm also starring in this series called...
In English?
In
English?
In English.
Okay.
In English, but part of it at the beginning, because the movie is called... the series is called Acapulco, because it all starts in Acapulco. It's about a kid who was born in Acapulco, and then he ends up living in Malibu, and he's a billionaire. So it's a very interesting story. And we're very excited about this series. And it's coming out October 15th in Apple TV. And then I just shot a movie, my next movie where I'm starring. It's called The Valet.
The Valet. We have a couple of friends that are part
That's
of it. Yeah. ¿Y eso sale cuándo?
Summer 2022.
When are you directing again?
That's what I want.
That's what you want to break for, right? To find time.
You know, Instruction Not Included, that was the last movie I directed. It changed my life. And that's why I'm here working in the US, because of that movie. So, and I didn't want to direct since then, because I felt that I had to learn, because comedy in English is another whole thing. It's another animal. I've been learning. I'm still learning English, as you can tell. But, the comedy is different in Mexico and Spanish than and in Latin America than in the U.S. So it's been a learning curve, and I think now I'm ready. So I'm about to direct my next movie probably next year. But I've been waiting to have all the elements to finally direct in English. So I think I'm ready.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Eugenio. This was amazing. You're incredible. You know how much respect and love and I have for you, and thank you for supporting me always. Y te bendigo y que los triunfos continúen y la salud y la prosperidad.
Gracias, Rosalina. I hope you can direct again. You're an amazing director.
Ay, gracias. Yeah.
De verdad.
Sí, tengo, iba a Puerto Rico. I was doing almost pre-production. I was doing soft prep for a movie that I was going to direct, like a long feature, pero me cayó Fantasy Island, so decided to do Fantasy Island, so I'm going to go back now to start prepping for my movie. I can't wait. I love the experience of directing, and hopefully it's going to happen many more times.
You're amazing, and you have this sensibility that I worked with two female directors. One is Patricia Regan, and Under the Same Moon, and Miracles from Heaven, and now Sean Heather with Coda. And honestly, the best directors I've worked with are female directors. So, and you are one of them. Yeah, you're amazing. You have this sensibility. So you please continue directing.
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugenio.
Eric, thank you very much, guys.
Un abrazo.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes, I will see you tonight, for sure.
It's on the list right now.
Bye-bye.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Wow. So what do you think?
I mean...
El señor Eugenio Derbez.
Again, I mean, we've talked about it before. He's such a talented individual, but always so humble and so grounded with his stature of where he's at in his career. He just is one of the most humble, kind individuals I've met through you. You know, he's just so welcoming.
You know, guys, I directed this... The reason he was talking about my directing, I directed this short film called Satos. You guys know about it. And I did a screening here in LA because I wanted to show it to some friends and colleagues just to get some feedback before we locked the movie, meaning it wasn't color corrected, it wasn't sound mixed. It was a very raw cut, but I just wanted to get some feedback from people that I admire and I look up to, you know, and there's a lot of people from the industry that went. And I invited a lot of friends that are actors, you know, and I said, you know what, I it would mean so much to me if Eugenio can just go by for a little bit, because I would love to see, hear his feedback. And I didn't think in a million years that he was going to have time to do it. He's incredibly busy. And guess what? He went, he showed up, he was scheduled to have an event that night, but he went over, he saw my movie for 40 minutes. The movie's short, it's a short film. And his presence there made everything right for me. I was like, oh my God, he didn't have to do this. And here he is supporting me. So thank you, Eugenio. Thank you so much. What a pleasure to interview him.
Absolutely.
And we have to watch Coda tonight.
For sure.
We don't lie. The reviews, guys, are beautiful. It's critically acclaimed. We have friends that have seen it. So, oh my God, I can't wait. So we encourage and invite everybody to go and watch Coda.
And I also think the other valuable piece that he gave us was how you should probably stop working at times when I'm working so that you can be sit back and be supportive of my career like his wife is of his career.
Because I'm not supportive of your career.
I just said to stop working when those times come.
I can be working and be very supportive.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You want me to? Okay, so you know what? Let's do that.
Take advice.
Starting in 2022, it's going to be about schedules. When you work, I don't work, and vice versa. Let's see how that goes.
Starting in 2022. How about in 2025, we put it in our calendar that we support each other?
Oh, my, come on, dude.
Unbelievable. Did you take anything away from that?
I took a lot.
He gave great relationship advice.
He did.
He said all the other ones didn't work. This one's working.
Well, we've been together for 15 years, so clearly we're doing something right.
Yes, we are.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said, Ella Dijo, or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said, Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.